Thank you, Brother Robert. First time I ever remember meeting Brother Robert was up at, up at Fried Hartleben College. And he was up there visiting the lectureship, and I was up there also visiting, and it was getting close to nighttime, and I didn't have a place to stay to spend the night. And he and his father-in-law were together, and they had a room in a motel there in Henderson. And he found out I didn't have a place to stay, and he said, come on, we'll make room for you. And I'll never forget that. I also want to say that I've known Robert all these years. He's one of the most intensely interested in soul winning of any person I know. He really cares for souls, and he seeks personally to be involved in helping people get to heaven. Robert, that's a great example.
Amen.
We appreciate you.
I appreciate Brethren allowing us to be together in these sort of circumstances in the house that we're in tonight, and opportunities for you. Thank you so much.
Very, very good. We started out a while ago by reading the passage in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, which is sort of a theme or a text for at least my part of this series, where the Apostle Paul told Timothy, who apparently was a young man, I don't know exactly how young he was, but relative to Paul, he was a young person. And Paul said to him, don't let anyone despise your youth. Instead of feeling put down or even rejected by people because you are young, Paul said, you just set the right kind of example before folks. That's what you need to emphasize. Don't be discouraged because someone may think you're young and you don't know what you're talking about. You just set the right kind of example. And you know, I can't think of a better admonition today to say to each of us, you set the right kind of example. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how educated or not educated, how rich you are, how poor you are. Your job is to set the right kind of example. And if you do that, I believe you will have an influence upon people in leading them to Christ. Now, you've got to do more than just that. You've got to teach them the word of the Lord. But you've got to back it up with your life. And he mentions about five or six things that he admonished Timothy to back up with his life in setting the right kind of example. And we read a while ago those six things. He said, be an example of the believers in word, in conversation or manner of life or conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. My objective tonight is to deal with the first two. We've already talked about being a good example in word, how we talk. Now we're going to talk a little bit about being a good example in our conduct. How do we act in the presence of other people? When people see us day by day, not only do they hear our words, but they see what we do. They also see what we give our emphasis to. They also see places we go. And all of this is a part of our manner of life. And we need to be the best example we can be as far as everyday Christian living. You set a good example, and you will be helping build up the world's greatest institution, the Church of the Living God. Works are important. What you do is important. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, that's the words, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father who is in heaven. It's not enough to say, we need to do. It's not enough to speak, we need to act. God wants people that act on what they say and back it up with their way of living, their conduct on a daily basis. I'd like to share with you four verses quickly from the book of Titus that I think fits in with this idea of what we do, our works, our actions, that mean so much to the building of the church of our Lord. I found it interesting that in the book of Titus, you find that verse that says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." It's a wonderful verse. God's special favor has been made available to all people. The grace of God hath appeared to all men. And there's a lot of emphasis today upon grace and how important grace is. And I'm telling you, the older I get, the more important I understand grace is. I know I can't be good enough. I know I can't work enough to go to heaven and say, "Lord, you owe me entrance into that kingdom, that eternal kingdom." I can't do that. I'm dependent upon the grace of God, and you are too. But the grace of God doesn't mean that there's nothing for us to do. It's sort of like the idea of faith. You know, people sometimes talk about you're saved by faith, and some say faith only. Now, if we understand the biblical concept of faith, it is correct to say we are justified by faith. But faith in a biblical sense is a faith that shows itself. It manifests itself. It acts upon what it believes.
Right.
It's sort of like Abraham. He was justified by faith, but he did something, didn't he?
Right.
And that's true with everybody. If we please God, not only must we say we have faith, we must show that we have faith. And genuine biblical faith involves a response to the one in whom we say we believe.
Right.
If I believe in Jesus and I don't want to do what he says, I don't really believe in him.
That's it.
But if I believe in him, I'll gladly do what he tells me to do.
That's right.
Salvation is by grace, but we've got to reach out. We've got to accept that offer of salvation. One time I illustrated this way. I said, "I've got in my pocket a $20 bill, and I'm going to give it to one of you in the audience." Now, I'm not going to offer that tonight because I'm not even sure I've got a $20 bill. But if I did, and I said, "Anyone who believes my offer is free to come and reach front in my hand and take up the $20 bill. But if you just sit there and say, 'I believe it,' you just sit there and say, 'Yeah, that's wonderful that you're willing to give through grace, not because I earn it,' but you just sit there, you won't ever have that $20. You've got to reach out and accept it. And the Bible says that the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us to do something, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." And in that same book, the book of Titus, he mentions at least four times the need to be involved in good works. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Titus chapter 2. And verse 1. I believe it's verse number. Skip that one. Let's look at Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. Talking about Jesus who gave himself for us through his grace that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purified himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, he said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready unto every good work. To be ready unto every good work. And then in chapter 3 and verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Over and over, this book that talks about the grace of God also emphasizes that we must be careful to maintain good works. We must be ready unto every good work. We must be zealous of good works. Now we're talking about conduct, because good works is your conduct. What you do, how you act. Someone has said the shortest and perhaps the best biographical statement about Jesus is found in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, where it says that Jesus went about doing good. Now, he's our example. You don't have to question the conduct of Jesus. He was a doer of good, and he spent his life on earth doing good. He did a lot of things. He was compassionate. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. Mm-hmm. He raised the dead. He did good. But he also taught them the will of the good Lord. He taught them the gospel. He taught them what God would have them to do. That's a part of Jesus' life, who went about doing good. And if we're going to follow Jesus, who is our example, we need to set the right kind of example by spending our lives going about doing good. Isn't it wonderful when you go to a funeral service and you hear different people who know a person who has just died, and they tell you what a good person that he was or she was? He was such a good person. What do you mean he was such a good person? You could tell it by his conduct. The things that he did. Not just what he said. But the things that he did. The way he lived his life. The way he cared for other people. Be an example in the area of good works. If there's a need in your community, and you have an opportunity to help meet that need, that's important. The church of our Lord needs to set a good example in helping those who are in need. I remember just a few years ago, thought about it this evening as I was coming into town, when the tornado hit right here in this area. Mm-hmm. I believe it was on a Sunday, wasn't it? Yes. It seemed like it was. And I remember how that many of you really got involved in helping distribute things to help people in the community. Yes. You were involved in helping, and that was such a wonderful thing. You set a good example. And that's the way we should live our lives. It's interesting to me that when Jesus talked about the great judgment in Matthew chapter 25, he talked about some people that would be ready for the judgment and some other folks who would not be ready. And the difference between those who are ready and those who are not ready is primarily their conduct. Their manner of life. The Lord said to those on his right hand, those that he would say later, come unto me, or enter the kingdom prepared for you. To those he said, you visited me when I was sick. You fed me when I was hungry. You came to me when I was in prison. That's how we should be. Our conduct, our manner of life, going about as Jesus did and doing good. When good people teach the good message about the good Lord and back it up with good living and good gospel sound preaching, that's what we've got. That's our power. That's our force in the community. But you can't have one without the other, and it really be effective. We can say, but if we never do, and if we just live right and never teach the truth, we're still failing. We got to put them together, brethren, and that's what will help build up the cause. Let me emphasize by repetition. We need good, godly living that produces sound gospel preaching and teaching. Not everybody has to be a preacher. And not everybody has to hear a sermon to be converted, but he needs to hear the Word of God. Amen. And you can teach that personally, individually.
Amen.
This is how I believe we can build up the church. And it all revolves around being good examples. What kind of an example are you? What kind of an example am I? Maybe I could rephrase those questions. What kind of example have I been? Maybe not the best. Think about what kind of example can I be? And do I want to be? That's what I'm asking you about tonight. Do you need to change your example in word and in deed? If not, or if you do, I should say, I hope that you'll resolve in your heart, I'm going to do better. I'm going to set a good example, and I'm going to speak like I ought to speak. And I believe I can contribute individually. Each of you can say that. Individually, you will be able to contribute to the growth of this church of Durant. Talk like a Christian ought to talk. Act like a Christian ought to act. And God will bless you. And you'll see results. If there's any way we can encourage you tonight, do you need prayer? Do you need God's help? Do you want to really do better? I need it, God's help. I want to do better. And I admit to you that I'm not always doing what I should. But let's all resolve to be good examples and therefore build up the world's greatest institution. If we can help you while together we stand and sing, make that desire or your need known, please.
Seek the Lord.